This is Preaching Minister Rylan Brown, and I want to thank you for listening to this Minute with the Ministers podcast, where the ministerial staff of Little Rock Church sit down together and discuss what it means to follow Jesus in light of the sermon from Sunday. If you'd like to watch the full video of our conversation, please head to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Little Rock Church. And if you're interested in checking us out on the web, please go to littlerockchurch.org. We're a church that wants to love God and love others, and we hope through this time together, you'll be blessed. God loves you. Hey, Little Rock Church, welcome back. I think we're calling this Minute with the Ministers, even though I don't think we've decided on a title yet, but I kind of like
Oregon
that.
Oregon Minute.
What'd you say?
Oregon 1 minute, but.
And so we're here. It's Dave and John and myself sitting down talking about the sermon from the previous week. And so Zach preached this last week on Zach Cheatham on Matthew 6, 25 through 34, about anxiety and worry about finances and what you eat and what you wear and drank, all those sorts of things, did a great job. And we want to take just about 15 minutes and kind of process that together. The three of us, we're just followers of Jesus at the end of the day. We just want to take what Jesus has said, put them into practice. And so we kind of want to have a brief discussion that you all can listen in on. And so that's what we're going to do. If you haven't read Matthew 6, 25 through 34, or listened to Zach's sermon, feel free to pause this and go do that. And then come back, or listen now and then go back and catch up with what he's saying. So we are, guys, we're talking about anxiety and worry. And, you know, this passage has been misinterpreted a lot by a lot of people in a lot of ways. So what are some of the ways that you all have seen this passage misinterpreted? And then maybe in a healthy space, how should we interpret this passage?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, when you have a verse that says, do not worry, we think that if you've ever experienced worry, then there's something wrong with you, you know? Mm-hmm. Jesus said not to worry. You're worrying, you know, you messed up. You're wrong. You know, what's going on here? You're not supposed to do that kind of thing. Just like it's black and white like that, or just an oversimplification of it, you know? But, you know, one of the things that I think Zach did well was kind of put it in the context of what Jesus is doing throughout this sermon. And I love that he emphasized this idea of, you know, where is your treasure at? You know, is your treasure in Christ? You know, and so I know that's not the question yet, but I think, you know, just right off the bat, it's important for us to keep this passage in the context of all of what Jesus is saying, you know, so.
Yeah, Jesus is moving through a lot of things that this crowd definitely experiences because they're under persecution, because they're under Roman rule. And so he's been addressing a lot of things, and he tags in this do not worry. And who knows how much they had to worry about, from what they were going to eat or from what they were going to be arrested for or what they'd be persecuted for next. And so it does seem like a very strong word. And then even for us to take it in, like Dave mentioned, it was just, if we're hearing the words, do not worry, and we feel like it's already a struggle, a sin, then we have a mentality that doesn't want to learn from it or doesn't want to grow. And so I think when we use words like, hey, I experience worry, I experience anxiety, instead of I struggle with those two, that. I think it can reframe how we see this. And so as a kid growing up, it wasn't that I don't believe that my church had the intent of making me feel like I'm not doing something right because I worried. But I feel like I could not exactly grasp everything that they were saying about it. And so I grew up with a little bit of a lens that, oh, I'm in the wrong. Oh, I can't be doing this. Oh, I need to make sure that all my trust is in God here, versus allowing myself to lean into that experience, so that I could grow from it, so that I could grow into more trust with God, so that I could, grow in empathy with others who may experience this worry or this anxiety or this sense of no food, no clothes, no security. Mm-hmm. And so I think there is where we rely heavily on not trying to misinterpret it into don't worry because everything is just perfect for you, but to lean into things that allow us to say, I have to experience Christ in his resurrection in this moment so that I can have a potential trust that leads me into more security with who Christ is and what Christ has done for me.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus there, he says, for this reason, I say to you, And so anytime someone reads the Bible and they find a phrase like that, or the word therefore, I'll say it sometimes, mm-hmm. when you see therefore, you need to ask, what's that therefore? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus, he's connecting it to a previous thing. And, you know, as someone who does struggle with anxiety, depression, mine is like 99% related to diet and exercise. And if those rhythms aren't right, then, you know, the anxiety comes on. And so for people who take these passages, I think the message has pretty consistently been preached by some, that you're always striving for perfection, that a Christian doesn't have anxiety, doesn't have worry. And that's just not what Jesus is saying. So even there at the end, he's saying, you know, seek his kingdom first. I think the thing that was most helpful for me when I go through it is not so much Jesus's teaching on worry here, but really the Psalms and kind of that language of lament. And yeah. I mean, those guys who wrote that, David, who wrote that, I mean, he went through the thick of it and he just kind of lived in it. And it's okay to have those kind of emotions and feelings. In fact, I'm going to put some resources in the notes that people can get books, maybe some websites. If anyone is dealing with just kind of general anxiety or worry, you know, if it's a physiological thing, going to see a doctor. Medication is not a sign of weakness. You know, if you get your arm broken, you go see a doctor and you get it fixed. And the same way, if your mind is broken, there's absolutely no shame in going to get that checked out. And, you know, as one who's had that happen, to seeing people for that, you know, there's just no shame in it. And so very That's helpful, good. Guys. Yeah, very helpful.
I think one of the things that, like, the church has kind of neglected a lot of these kind of topics, you know. And I think it's just important, especially during COVID, you know, we're definitely learning a lot during COVID. I mean, I think there's a lot more anxiety. There's a lot more worry. I mean, really, you look around, it's like bad things are happening, you know? And so we're kind of on the edge. I mean, as a society, as a nation, you know, and I think this is a great opportunity for the church to be the church. And I think this is a great passage for us to kind of talk about during this time, as we're dealing with it, you know. And there was one little article I read that kind of dealt with, you know, coping with COVID, you know, and it talked about diet and exercise, you know. So it was interesting that, you know, it brought up those same kind of rhythms and how important those are as we are dealing with something like a pandemic, even. So that's really good.
That's great. Well, For you both and for myself, you know, Jesus does talk about worry, and Zach talked about treasure, just a great thing, kind of what your treasure is. So for us, what's been your treasure? What's caused you anxiety? You know, as you've walked with Christ, we're still human. So but what is it for y'all? And yeah, you have to give all your deep, dark secrets.
I know both of us are like, which one do you want?
I know, I was like, Yeah, you know, I think for me, you know, I've got as a parent, I think that's probably some of my greatest causes of anxiety and worry, you know, bringing out the ugly things that I guess are inside me. It's like I realize I'm not very patient. I'm not as loving as I thought I would be, you know. And so I think for kids, it's like, on some level, you kind of know that they're going to be okay. And as a parent, it's like, man, I'm doing the best I can. But there is also just a lot of, man, when they start acting like you, you know, you're like, what in the world am I doing here? You know? And so there is a lot of worry and anxiety of just being a parent and wanting to do that well. Especially when you see your kids are starting to act like you do in negative ways, you know, you're like, wait a minute, they see me do that. Now they're doing it, you know? And so, so that's kind of a little bit of where I'm at, right now.
I wish when kids were born that within your copay or insurance, they're going to go prepay for counseling for your kids, for all the ways that you just pass on all your stuff, to them. Yeah.
How many wounds have I given you?
Yes.
And can we go ahead and list those out so that they can be addressed by the counselor?
Yep.
I don't even think I'd know how to identify some of them. And so that, again, just that the need for a counselor to come in and speak to you. You know, I think for my life, the scripture is so easy sometimes to gloss over or even to dismiss, because I've never had to worry about my food. I've never had to worry about what I'm going to wear. And so I've never had that sense of just this desperation on those two pieces, and especially for a community that's hearing this from Jesus talk about these things. Those were just daily. Are they going to be able to have enough to eat? Are they going to have clothes to wear the next day? What's going to be taken away and stripped from them, either whether it's land or not? And so I've grown up in a family that has been able to provide for me all those things all the time. I have been blessed with job security that has, you know, now provided one for me and my wife at the very beginning, and now for my family on that whole sense. But sometimes I do, like, as we connect this to the do not stir up your treasures in heaven, like, sometimes I wonder if I'm not intentionally seeking less so that I could provide less worry for someone else. Does that make sense? And I guess a way to describe that is, I remember being in college and kind of buying my first car, and I bought it for my uncle, and I wanted to put the grill guard on it. I wanted to put the fender flares on it. I wanted to put the step rails on it and, like, the tail light back. And so I got so, like, entwined of, like, I'm going to save my money. I'm working. I'm going to save my money for these things. And then I went to church, and they were like, hey, for $25, you can sponsor a kid for this to go on a CIY conference meeting. And I'm like, I'm doing that for $25. You get a nail. And then I went and I spent $25 on a steak, you know, that I can pay for. And that's when it just kind of hit me, like, yeah, I may not have to worry about my food, but I'm just still not I'm still not being intentional about how others may perceive or be able to receive a blessing that God has given to me. And so I remember having to, one, going and buying the nail for a kid, but then two, being intentional about my prayers of what I wanted and desire, and asking, can I desire less? Can I want less? And, like, very intentionally being about the grill guard, about the step rails, about the fender flares, and didn't do those for my car, but it took a while for me to have that prayer that I need to be mindful of less for me, instead of worrying about, what, hey, how am I going to obtain? And I think that kind of, you know, or that gives that, do not store up your treasures in heaven. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about what's going on tomorrow.
Oh, that's great. And as long as I've known you, John, I would testify to that, of that idea of, what's the word you just used? Intentionality, or being intentional. Mm-hmm. You know, and the word that comes to mind for me is Paul's use of the word content. Which I think something is, I know, lacking in my life and our culture's life, where it's always, you got to have more, and you got to keep up with the Joneses. And, man, we are very well off in our country. I'm not downplaying poverty at all, but, like, the average poor person in America right now has two TVs. We are a very wealthy, wealthy nation. And, you know, it's just contentment. And so, yeah, for me, the set, you know, my treasure, has been health insurance. You know, that feeling like I can take care of my family. I had some bad experiences early on. When I first got into vocational ministry, I made less than a school teacher, which is okay. But for a long time, it was, I needed to make or earn or be able to do so much to feel like I measured up. And so, you know, vocational ministry early on, it took long, hard lessons to kind of learn what it means to be content. You know, those days where, like, we had the three of us in our house had the flu one time, and it cost $900. Well, when you're making less than a school teacher does, you know, $900 is not like we have that kind of money. What, you know, what are we, thousandaires? No. So God just been working on my life a long time, and we're very thankful here at Little Rock Church and Deborah's work to have health insurance. We don't take that for granted, but I know that is still a idol for me, of feeling I need to be. And I'll give a great example. So we didn't have insurance when two of our kids were born. Well, God blessed us. We didn't have to pay anything for those births. God just took care of us. And so, but I still had that in my drive, man, I've got to have that to take care of us. So, that idea of, certainly for me has been a treasure. And then, finally, how do we create perspective? We're in this time of anxiety, worry, COVID. Maybe it is about stuff. Someone's lost their job. And how do we create perspective for someone who maybe comes to you or you're talking with your friends and they're just full of worry? And how do we create perspective that this is not forever? You know, we were talking before we recorded that a lot of the things that we would say to one another sound trite. They just kind of sound Christianized or Christianese. So what do we, how do we help one another to create perspective when it comes to following Christ?
Yeah. You know, and I don't know if I have any keys on how to avoid the triteness. But I think we do need reminders that as believers, as followers of Christ, it doesn't say that we're going to get an easy out. It doesn't say that, that we're not going to experience worry or anxiety. We're not immune from COVID. But I think one of the differences that we have as God's people is that God is with us during this hard time that we're going through. I think that's, it's huge that God is with us. You know, I was just thinking about when the people of Israel were rescued out of Egypt. It's like, how cool is it that God saved them, that God delivered them, that God brought them out? That's amazing. But what we often miss is that God dwelt with them after that. You know, it's like he was with them. He made his presence known. And I think that's what's important for us. Is there any way that when we do experience worry, that we can kind of take that to God and just realize that he's with us as we're experiencing that? And you know, we also talked a little bit about Paul and one of the verses of, I can do all things through Christ. We have to realize that Paul was in a prison when he wrote that, you know, and conditions were not nice. And you know, the basic needs may not have been being met, you know, and a lot of people died because of the sanitation conditions. And it was a rough place to be. And Paul's able to say, I can do all things with Christ, you know. And we're also able to say that Christ is with us during difficult times and rough times like we're going through. So,
yeah, and I think that's important to stay, like, just stay along with Paul right there, that in his, what we record as the second letter to Corinthians, like, Paul opens it up with, like, praise to the God of all comfort, the God of compassion who gives us all comfort and who comforts us in our troubles. Like, he's writing a brand new letter to the Corinthians, and he understands that there is something happening in that community that he needs to first claim the compassion and the comfort of God with them. And so I think when we also come through a lot of experiences of worry or anxiety or run into people who also have those same things, is that it's hard not to try to fix it or try to show them the perspective of, well, this can be better, or show them a comparison. Well, you can't be that bad because it's over here. It's so much worse. Versus just really the empathy, the sitting with them, the acknowledgement of truth that, I mean, there's compassion and God is here for the comfort. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. But you're going to mourn. That's probably going to be the first step. And Rylan, you mentioned earlier about the Psalms, the writers that are just saying, it's the lament. It's the moment of just being able to be broken and understand it's tough, and bringing that honesty to God, and then realizing and having to bank on the truth that our God is a God of compassion and a God of comfort.
That is so true. And I think in our social media driven culture, where people do put their best foot forward, mm-hmm. that isolation, you know, and so if someone is needing perspective, I think you won't be able to get that by yourself. So you need to be tethered and in community with other Christians, amen, mature Christians who have walked those roads before, that this is not forever. And then often, you know, I know in the lies I tell myself are not the truth that God says about me. And so it is a continual battle to let the Word of God be a louder voice in my life than the voices I create. And that's hard to do. And so, but the more people I have in my life who are able to speak that truth, the easier it is to believe, you know, and so it's not going to happen in isolation, but like you say, John, just kind of to live in it. You know, Jesus, when we look at Jesus's example, he is with us in our suffering. And so I think that does mean suffering for the cause of Christ, people who suffer for being Christian. I also think it just means general suffering, that when things go bad, he's with us. We're becoming like him in our suffering. And I think there's only things that you can learn through suffering. And I forget who said it, but there was one preacher, he said, I've got it written in one of my Bibles at the front, that the only way he learned to preach was through suffering. Something to that effect. I'm going to misquote him and it's going to be wrong and it's a bad quote, but well, we have gone 17 minutes. And so guys, I'm going to put this up on YouTube, and then I'm also going to put it on our podcast on the website and iTunes and all that stuff. And anything else we need to tell the people before we go?
No, I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miss you guys. And look forward to seeing you again. I think it would be also wise for us to say that if there's anybody listening to this that needs to just ask for one of us to pray for you, or you just need a connection, it's like, yes, please contact us through.
Amen. Yeah.
We definitely want to be praying for you and want to be here for you during this time. So.
One of the most freeing things I ever did was the first time I went to counseling, and you know, I was just a wreck. And I went and saw this counselor. I didn't know him. In fact, I went to go see somebody that I knew didn't know me, or people that I knew. I wanted that anonymity, and it wasn't a game, but it took a few times before I felt safe. And because I went in there thinking this person is about to judge me, you know, in the back of their mind, man, they're going to see how messed up I am. And, you know, that they're going to let me have it. And that didn't happen. And I think the same would be true for anybody listening. Need to talk to one of us. There's absolutely no judgment. It just means we're human, and we may join you in it by saying we're struggling too. So yeah, anybody who needs to reach out, please, to any of us. So, all right, guys, God bless. Thank y'all. We'll do this next week.